Before I talk about this particular event, I first introduce the work of the digitization of Big Bear and NSO film data. Probably know before 95, most of the observations were recorded by films. It's very hard to study them. So supported by NSF and also NASA, we digitize all the films taken on the leadership of Hal Ziering and from Big Bear, and also at the same time, we digitize the synoptic data set from National Solar Observatory at the Sac Peak. So I would say I really appreciate the hard work of nearly 10 students, both undergraduate and graduate students at NGIT. They put a lot of effort to make this possible. This is our digitizer, it's a high-speed digitizer, but it can digitize like close to 10,000 frames per hour. So, and then we store them, and a lot of data processing. We finish a lot of them, but still a lot of going on. So as you can see, we have a close to like 20 million frames so far. So a lot of effort there. And also, this is the latest development. We collaborating with Indian Institute of Astrophysics. They have the HRF data from 1914. So that means we are accumulating 100 years of the HRF data. So you can see, although all other data we digitize has a cadence about 1 minute, the Indian data is like 1 a day. But that's for long term. Look at the 9 solar cycles and look at the a lot of things, including the cycle variation of the, for instance, polychrome filaments and those dynamics and active regions. This will be a unique data set to covering 9 solar cycles. So but anyway, those are from films, machine, and become a digital. So this is the, this is sample Big Bear for this data. It's as good as the recent data, since the films has a really high resolution. You can equivalent to 4K by 4K, so that you don't degrade that much. But although we know the limitation of film, you cannot do photometry because of some effect. And at Big Bear, we also had a high resolution observation. That's what the Big Bear was famous for, because of good seeing. Then we digitize those high resolution observations with 10-inch and 26-inch telescopes. Its resolution is about 1 arc second, but it covers the field of view 300 arc second, so they cover the hundreds, probably close to 1,000 solar flares. So it's really a big archive, a lot of eruptions with different morphology. So we are continuing to digitize some high resolution ones. All the synoptic ones, the full disk, all finished. Okay, and we also sent out some announcements solar news before, and we make all the data available. This is our webpage, so if you're interested, you can look at the data we have and make automatic data request. So if you're interested in any particular events, if we haven't digitized them in a high resolution, we can digitize for you. So that's the service we are happy to provide to the community. Science projects, we did quite a bit of, last SPD I presented some nice studies on the circular flare. So there's related a special kind of magnetic reconnection. From Big Bear data, we found many. And there is a poster by Chiang Niu on the black light flare, so that means the flare ribbons are dark in D3. So that we found many. And we also now the focus on the cycle variation, since we have a high resolution for 6 cycles, and 1 minute cadence, once a day is kind of low resolution for 100 years. So that a lot of cycle variation property of activity can be studied. And today I just emphasize on the one, this is a paper just got accepted. The first author is renewed. on the BBSO data to study the modern wave associated with the X9 flare, as you see, a long time ago. Everybody probably wish now we have SDO, we have comparing with this, that would be very nice. Let's look at this this edge. So there was a flare going near the edge, it's almost there, and then that modern wave will be propagating. See? And when modern wave propagating, then it disturbs the filament, and the filament started to oscillate. But I'm going to ask you to pay attention to a few things. There are a number of filaments. You will see only two filaments are disturbed. Other two are not. I will also give you a reason. So you just saw that pass through. This one disturbed, and this one disturbed. But like this one is not. And I can show you some high resolution movie. This is not from a full disk. You can see that's from the 26-inch telescope, a Big Bear. Of course, the seeing is, I mean, resolution is not as good as now the Big Bear is getting. But still, you can see disturbance. This is a filament very close to the source. It got disturbed and start to oscillate. And I also show you, but pay attention to this one. When the wave going through that, this one was not disturbed at all. This is the largest filament on the disk. So this is, you don't see the wave that much, but you can see the filament oscillation very well. Okay, we also estimated the height of those four filaments when the wave passing through. Then we can see the filaments only disturbed when it has a certain height. That can give us a constraint. What this modern wave, the height range of the modern wave, since the lower ones are not disturbed. But anyway, we also can do some other analysis since the data are all digital. We do a fully transfer to understand the power. Then we found the maximum power is at a 1.2 megahertz. You can convert that into a period. And for this power, it's the strongest. And also, you can see it's coherent. And we, from the previous study, we all understand this kind of, it's probably due to, it's not lateral motion, but it's up and down motion. When the up and down motion happens, those filaments will be in and outside the center line. So that's why at this moment we are making a lot of effort to upgrade our global Java network observations to include three wavelengths, one blue wing, one red wing, and center line. So that way we can see modern waves can more have the more physical meaning about a modern wave, and also very recently, we start to look at a 10830 signature of the modern wave, since 10830 has a certain signature of the corona due to its emission mechanism. So the dream is really to have SDO look at a corona EUV, and then with H-alpha and 10830 to look at this wave. Then we also found that these waves, there are actually, if you look at, so I probably don't have time to show the movie again. If you look at that very carefully, there are actually two waves. The first one, you see there's nothing here. Then can you see those brightening? And those brightenings are corresponding to magnetic elements. So each brightening is one magnetic node. So this wave, we calculate a propagation. It started from here, propagated this way, and the propagation speed is around 2,000 kilometers per second. So again, I understand even among the co-authors, there are two explanations we put it there. One is a fast modal wave that actually the previous speaker just talked about the simulation. It's getting to 2,000 kilometers per second. That's like a fast MHD wave that could be like that. But this is one of the explanations. But actually, we have a little part of why they only concentrate on magnetic element. And then a second explanation, I know Ron and Francis Tan had that idea since their observations are corresponding. This one, we didn't have that observation. It's the inverse, the type 3 burst. So that means that's due to magnetic reconnection, yeah, that's all. Then the accelerated electrons, they propagate at that speed. So we don't know yet. So, but the second wave, it's probably is a rear wave. You can see that probably it's more diffused, not necessarily associated with any magnetic fields. The brightenings in the areas could be everywhere, including in and out, with or without magnetic field. So this probably is a kind of wave we're talking about. So this is the second wave. We also got into the analysis of the wavefront, and also we can see there's a deformation of the wavefront when that goes to a filament. Okay. So the second wave, it's slower. We found the wave speed is the around 600 kilometers per second, and also just a brief mention. The filament oscillation is a damped oscillation. We can figure out its period. And this is a whole some other things we are looking at. Look at the model to have a diagnosis of the plasma property of the disturbed filament. And here are the main results. We found the two waves, so-called two waves. One could be, first one could be a fast wave or could be the particle precipitation. The second wave is probably is a diffused wave, and the wave interacts with the filaments, and the filament oscillate, and then there's a deformation of a wavefront that could be due to the some topology of the wavefront and also the local oven wave speed change with filament channel. Thank you.
Very nice. Congratulations on a nice project, especially involving the students. The only question I have is, perhaps you said it, but what was the band pass in the H alpha? Okay. So, and that was it at line center or off to? Okay. So, you know, I mean, a Doppler shift is going to make a big difference to the appearance of those images. So. Yeah. So it's not clear to me that a fast wave perturbation is going to create something because of a change in intensity, compression of the plasma, or change in the wavelength of the radiation that you're measuring through that. So, okay, but it doesn't really matter, I don't think, for tracking the wave.
Okay. Yeah, that's why the MODI, you know, the turning through the line is very, very important. I think we are making progress in observation. Now, of course, then add the value of the SDO. So this probably we can understand.
Some time ago, Meredith Wells-Davy wrote a review on EIT waves, and she actually said, Morton waves have not been observed as frequently as before, and she attributed that to the observing conditions at Grand Bess observatories. What do you think? Maybe Morton waves are more frequently observed in off-band images?
This actually, we are looking at, as you said, we found that there are not many Morton waves. I would say if we just look at the 50 years of data, probably we have found 50 events. So I don't think it's due to the observing conditions. And so this one, it's not that day is not particularly good. But it really, I mean, maybe related to large flare, and probably also some other corona condition. So this is exactly the question we need to answer. Why there are many more waves, we don't large events, we don't see modern wave at all with the same observing condition.